Good morning. Did you see who came in with me this morning? We've got Kathy, Melody, and Nancy with us this morning. Kathy said that, you know what, we need to be in church. Kathy, I want to tell you what an inspiration you are to this church. Your faith, which has produced courage, your faith, which has produced love, your faith, which has allowed you and Brian to have that special marriage that has transferred to your children, and it will to your children's children. You are an inspiration to us, and we love you and your family very much. Just a real quick announcement. The visitation for Brian will be from 4 to 8 at Bond Funeral Home Tuesday. And then the funeral will be here, 5 o'clock for visitation, 6 o'clock for the service on Wednesday. So visitation at Bond on Tuesday, 4 to 8. And the service here, 5 o'clock visitation, 6 o'clock for the service here at the church. Won't you stand for our scripture reading, please? Our scripture reading this morning is taken from Philippians, the 2nd chapter. And Paul is talking about this person, Jesus. And he's wanting the Philippian church to understand who he is. So this is what he writes to them. He says, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. You may be seated. Won't you pray with me, please? And now, Lord, as we go into your word that has been inspired, your word that has been written down, and your word that has been communicated to us, we pray as we go into this word, that you would let your spirit fill each one of us in a special way. May we feel your presence, and we pray, Lord, that we might hear you speaking to us this morning so that we might have a better relationship with you, a more loving relationship, a closer relationship. So, Father, that we can be better and obedient children, more in love with you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The sermon title this morning is a V. Say that with me. You just said a Hebrew word. Say it again.
You know what it means?
Oh, but you will. But you will. Let me ask you a question. How many of you were disobedient when you were a kid? How many of you were just real stinkers? Come on, raise your hand, big brother. I remember a time when I had a best friend, and his name was Daryl. Daryl and I were like this. You could not separate us. We were best friends. If he had a dollar, I had a dollar. And if I had a dollar, he was out of luck. But we were just tight. And we loved to go down to the creek below the house and wade and pick up rocks and catch crawfish and try to catch minnows. And one day we wandered on down to where the creek started going into the river, and it got a little deeper. And we found a deep pool. I say deep. It was probably maybe knee deep. And it was had two rapids on either side that were very shallow. And there was a good-sized fish in this pool, and we wanted to catch that fish. And we tried from morning until night to catch that fish. We never did catch it, but we lost track of time. And it was getting dark, and so we said, man, we better get home. I bet Mom and Dad's are probably concerned about us. Well, not knowing our moms and dads had called every house in the neighborhood and were about to call the police because it was getting dark when we come walking down the driveway and my mom yells out, "Where have you been? We've been worried about you all day long. You didn't even come home for lunch. We were worried sick about you. I can't believe that you would treat us like this." I must have been about, I don't know, 25. I think I was probably like 9 or 10 years old and had just completely lost track of time trying to catch this fish. Well, this morning we are going to look at some scripture of Jesus in his childhood. There's not a lot written about Jesus in his childhood, but I got to tell you, I love preaching when God reveals to me nuggets of truth that I'd never known before. That's how I like preaching to you. I like to share with you something that I've learned because it just lifts me up to a higher plane to have more faith in God. And I like just telling you, let me tell you what happened to me when I was preparing my sermon. That's the way I like to preach to you. So this morning, that's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the childhood of experience of Jesus. It's a short story. It's not very long. It's 9 verses long in the Bible. But it tells us a lot. And, you know, I've often had people ask me, do you think that Jesus knew he was the Messiah when he was young? Or when do you think Jesus knew he was the Messiah? Oh, we're going to learn something this morning. Luke 2, 41 through 50, if you want to turn to your Bibles, because I think you're probably going to want to take and underline some words and look at this thing in a very special way. But Luke 2, 41 through 50 tells us the story that when Jesus was 12 years old, he and his parents went to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. And there were 3 feasts every year that God's word told the Jewish people that no matter where you are, where you're living, for these 3 feasts, I want you to go back to Jerusalem to celebrate those feasts. So 3 times a year, no matter where the Jewish people were scattered among the known world at that time, it was their law, their heritage, their tradition to go back to Jerusalem and worship and celebrate those feasts. This particular feast was the Passover feast. It was one of those 3 that they were required to go back to Jerusalem. On a normal day, the inhabitants of Jerusalem may have been 80,000 to 150,000 people. But when Passover was taking place, scholars believe that there was as many as 2 million people in and around Jerusalem. Now, it was an expensive trip. And every year, Joseph would take his family and they would make this trip. And they would take their Passover sacrifice with them, or they would buy one when they got to Jerusalem. Look at Deuteronomy 16:16. This is the law that they followed. 3 times a year, all your men must appear before the Lord your God at the place he will choose, at the festival of unleavened bread, that's 1, the festival of weeks, 2, and the festival of tabernacles, 3. No one should appear before the Lord empty-handed. Each of you must bring a gift in proportion to the way the Lord God has blessed you. So, Jesus and his family, Joseph and Mary, they were taking their family to Jerusalem to celebrate this feast as the Lord requires. Now, the trip from where they were living was about a 70-mile walk. They traveled in a large group because they were concerned about safety. So, there would have been cousins and brothers and friends, but they would have traveled in a large group to protect themselves from robbers. They go to Jerusalem, they celebrate, and they're on their way back home. They are one day outside of Jerusalem. They have now settled down. It's time for the evening meal. And guess who doesn't show up for the meal? Jesus. Well, guess what? Mary and Joseph are getting concerned about him. Where is he? So they go from tent to tent. They start looking for him. Nobody has seen Jesus. Now they're very concerned. So the next day, being a day out, they gather their stuff together. They go all the way back to Jerusalem. Because here they've got a 12-year-old boy lost inside Jerusalem among 2 million people. And let me give you an example of what we're talking about. This is twice the size of Nashville. They got a 12-year-old boy who was lost inside twice the size of Nashville. You can imagine they're worried sick. It took them another full day, and on the third day, isn't that kind of amazing? On the third day, they go to the temple. Now, there was a portion of the temple that was reserved for the rabbis to come. And the rabbis would come and they would sit at this temple place and they would debate and discuss Scripture. So Mary and Joseph go to this temple, and lo and behold, in this area where the rabbis are seated and having these discussions among themselves, here is this 12-year-old Jesus sitting in the midst of them, carrying on a conversation. And they were discussing the Scriptures, and the Bible tells us that the rabbis were amazed. Look at Luke 2, 46 through 47. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them, and what? Everyone who heard him was
amazed.
Now, here's something that if you don't know something about the Jewish roots of our Christian heritage, you miss out on something. So here's a nugget that I'm going to share with you that God has given me. It's cool. So cool. The way that the rabbis would teach their students. No. The way that the rabbis would teach their exceptional students, their advanced students, they would ask a question of that student. Then the student would in return ask a question back to the rabbi, showing that they had knowledge of the answer and upped them one with a question saying, I understand it. Here's something more, a tidbit with it. Can you answer that? And they would go back and forth until they got into the meat of the subject of what they were talking about. So let me give you an example, if I can, of something that might be going on. Rabbi, why does Isaiah state that the Messiah would be a common-looking man? The rabbi might answer, why does Isaiah say the Messiah would be sinless? The student might say, well, why does Isaiah say, by his stripes we are healed? And the rabbi might say, well, why does Isaiah say, like, all we like sheep have gone astray? And they would keep going back and forth. So when you look at what was going on in this discussion that Mary and Joseph came up on, there were questions going back and forth, and the rabbis were blown away by Jesus' knowledge and understanding and ability to communicate to them in the Hebrew language of what is going on. So that's the process that we see that's happening. And then Joseph and Mary arrive, and they see Jesus amongst the rabbis. And look at verse 48. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, what did she say? That's about what my mom said. Why did you do this to me? You can see what's going on now. We didn't read that with probably the same amount of emotion that she had after not seeing her son for 3 days, not knowing where he was among 2 million people, finally sees him, and she says, son, why are you treating me like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you everywhere. And then Jesus responds, look at verse 49. Why were you searching for me? He asked. Didn't you know I had to be
in my father's house?
Jesus just laid a bombshell on them. A bombshell. We didn't catch it, but they did. What did Jesus say? One more time. What did he say? Okay. I want you to get this. The Jews believed that Father God taught Moses the law. So here we have the Son in the house of God taking up the Father's occupation. You see this? Now, the Jews called God Father. The name is Evinu. E-V-I-N-U. Evinu. And the meaning of that word in the Hebrew basically states that he is the father, the head of the house, and we are the children of God. Children of the Father. He's the head of the house, and we are children of the Father. Even you. Now, there was a word for God that only the Messiah would use. That word used by anyone else was sacrilegious. That word is so reverent, has such a meaning of relationship, a word that meant oneness with the Father, a word that meant being a part of the Father, that no one else was allowed to use that word for God. The only one who could use that word for God was who? Who? The Messiah. So when Jesus says in this scripture in verse 49, I've got to be in my Father's house, what word do you think he used for Father? It wasn't a venue. It was a V. A V. A V. The only word that was to be used by the Messiah. And at 12 years old, Jesus responds to the rabbis and says, I must be in my Avi's house. My Father, who I am one with. My Father, whom he and I are together. My Father and I, whom he has taken a part of himself and put him here on earth. My Father and I. Avi. When Jesus said that he must be in his Father's house and that he used the word of V, he was telling them that he is the Messiah. Now look at verse 50. But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Both the rabbis and the parents didn't get it. They thought that maybe being at 12 years old, he just got the Hebrew word mixed up and he used the wrong word. There was no correcting him. There was no, you can't use that word. You've just done something that's blasphemy. They didn't understand. Wait a minute, what happened here? What happened here? But then look at what Mary says. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother what?
Treasured all these things in her heart.
So now what things? What things? The pregnancy, the angel announcement, the virgin birth, the shepherds, the wise man, Simeon and Anna, and now Jesus telling them, I am the Messiah by the word that he used for God, which is a V. She kept all these things in her heart, trying to make sense out of what was going on. Do you see what's going on here? Jesus was telling them, I'm the Messiah. This is no mistake. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing, but he didn't walk as the Messiah until God's Holy Spirit fell on him and he began his ministry. He knew he was the Messiah. He told them he was the Messiah, but he didn't walk as the Messiah until he turned 30 years old. Now, until that time, Jesus was the obedient son. He didn't do anything the Father wouldn't want him to do. He didn't say anything the Father wouldn't want him to say. He had his Father's power. He had his Father's miracles. He had his Father's knowledge. And he was completely obedient to his Father. Once again, look at Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Who being in the very nature of God did not consider equality with God as being something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself, and what? He was obedient. Jesus is what Adam should have been. Adam should have been obedient, but he chose to be disobedient. Adam knew exactly what he was doing. Adam chose disobedience over the will of the Father. So the second Adam, which is Jesus, chooses obedience to undo what the first Adam messed up. I want to close with this. Let me ask you a question. How did Jesus know what people were thinking? What their name was, whom to heal, what to do, what to say, and to be so obedient. How did he know all these things? How many times in Scripture do we see our Lord and Jesus saying, hey guys, I got to go away for a while. I got to talk to Father. I got to talk to Avi. And he would excuse himself, and he would go and he would spend time in prayer. He took the time to be with his Father. He was constantly speaking to his Father and seeking his will, and he would know his will. He was the perfect, obedient son. Wouldn't you like to be like that? Wouldn't you like to know what to say? Wouldn't you like to know what to do? We can. It all comes from being in touch constantly with our Messiah, Jesus. And make no bones about it. Jesus boldly claimed who he was, but he never came right out and said it to the Jewish people. We talked about that last week. He came to them in a way that they would understand. The Messiah, based on the Scripture and Old Testament Scriptures, would never raise his hands and publicize that he was Messiah. He would never put it up on a billboard. He would never run for and campaign for it. If he did, he would not be the Messiah. Wouldn't you like to know what to say and what to do? We can by looking at what the Messiah did. Spend time in prayer. Spend time with the Father. Spend time with Jesus. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you so much, and we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for how powerful it is. And knowing, Lord, the culture of that day and letting it speak to us today, we know who you are and we know whose we are. We want to be obedient children. We want to be loving children. We want to be the light of the world as you have required us to be, a light in darkness. So, Father, may we see who you are. And may we see how powerful you are. And may we recognize that we are children of the King. For it's in Jesus' name we pray.